do hope the Lord will answer our brother's prayer. He's blessed by it. Thank you, Brother Terry. I love the Old Testament types. I can't get enough of them. I learned to love them under a faithful teacher and preacher, elder, Brother Charlie Payne was his name, who went to be with the Lord in a few years now. But nearly every time I remember hearing him preach, he preached from an Old Testament type, and he dug and dug and dug and searched, and he brought some things out that we had just never seen before. You go over in Judges and Chronicles and just dig. And it was such a blessing. The Old Testament types convince me of the truth of God's Word. When I see them so clearly, I'm absolutely convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wrote this book. It's too amazing. It all tells the same story. Convinces me of who Christ is. I come away after seeing such a clear picture. If you like that verse over in Isaiah that says, "They that walked in darkness shall see out of obscurity." In other words, they'll see glorious light in obscure places, little obscure passages back in the Old Testament. They'll see just amazing things. Have them revealed to them by God. And it convinces me of who Christ is. It builds up my faith in Him. I have some favorites. I must admit to having some favorites, Old Testament types. And I would have to say, right or wrong, I would just have to say that my favorite is Boaz. I just love that picture. I love it. I could preach on it. If you could hear it, I could preach it once every 6 months. Mephibosheth is right up there. The son of David. David as a type of Christ. Abraham and Isaac going up that mountain, Mount Moriah. Abraham to offer Isaac up there. I love that. I love that. But this whole story of Joseph is just marvelous. It's a lengthy and a glorious type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere in Scripture is the beauty and the glory and the wisdom of God's Word more clearly seen than in this type of Christ. He brings about so many things in the life of Joseph, every single event, the names of the people, the places, every move, it seems, that was made, Joseph made, the things he said concerning his brethren, everything is such a beautiful picture of Christ. It's like a carefully crafted, like they're all like carefully crafted pieces of a large puzzle. Puzzles always amaze me, you know. This one is, or it's like a better, maybe a better illustration would be a tapestry. A finely hand-woven tapestry. To the untrained eye, or the person that's ignorant of the whole scope of Scripture, or picture of Scripture, they're looking at Scripture as each Scripture when they come to it, and they're looking like they're looking at the back of the tapestry, the back of the rug, as it were, and it doesn't make any sense that way, does it? You just see individual threads, but if you turn it over, you'll see a picture. How all those individual threads come together to make one glorious picture. If you keep that in mind, you just marvel. It's like a tapestry. You ever turn one over, a rug, and you think, how in the world can all that jumble and all that stuff come together to make that one beautiful picture on the other side? Well, such is God's Word. Now, this is no cunningly devised fable, like Peter said. Is it? He said, this is no cunningly devised fable. I don't care how cunning a fellow is, he couldn't have devised it. This is no man-made collection of fiction. This is the marvelous, infinitely wise and glorious, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the living God, beyond the shadow of a doubt. And no story goes more toward proving that than this one before us. Some things we've already seen, I'm going to go back over. When I stated that some of you may not have been here Sunday, I thought, I was reminded, we have three ladies here that were not here Sunday morning. Our three teachers. And they need to hear some of the things we've already seen. All right, let's look at it. Genesis 37. Well, look back at chapter 30. The name of Joseph has a significance. His name means something. And he has more than one name. Did you know that? Joseph has more than one name. Do you know that, Joseph? He does. Look at chapter 30. Here's the name given to him by his father and mother. Verse 24. It says that Rachel conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. She called his name Joseph. Said, the Lord shall add to me another son. The name Joseph means adding, or the Lord shall add. And Joseph being a picture of Christ, that's significant. You see, Adam, the first Adam, was a great subtractor, didn't it? We lost everything in the first Adam. When the second Adam came, he added everything. Not only did we recover all lost in Adam, but he added more. He added to that, didn't he? We've received of the Lord's hand, the Lord Christ, double. He added to. And only Christ can add to God's family, add to heaven's population. He's the adder, our Joseph. He's the adder. All right, another name over in chapter 41. Chapter 41, another name given to Joseph was given by Pharaoh. And you could say that this was divinely inspired because it means something. Chapter 41, look at verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-paneah. Zaphnath-paneah. I like the sound of Joseph better, don't you? Steve, what if you had to call your son all the time? Come here, Zaphnath-paneah. He'd be out of earshot by the time you got to spit it out. Come here, Joe. But Zaphnath-paneah means something, has all the names in Scripture. I'm not making fun of it at all, but it means something glorious. It really does. Zaphnath-paneah means the revealer of secrets. That's good. The revealer of secrets. Now look over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Look over here. And keep your place over here in at least the three Gospels. Just put a bookmark over there because we're going to be turning over and see the correlations between Genesis 37 and the Gospel. Luke 2. Look over here. Luke 2. So Joseph's name means adding, and Zaphnath-paneah means the revealer of secrets. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the great revealer. Look at Luke 2, verse 34. Simeon. This was Simeon blessing the child in the temple. And said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through my own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. He's the great revealer. Christ revealed the Father's will. Scripture says the only begotten Son, he hath declared him. He's the revealer. That's why he's called the Word of God. Christ reveals men's sins to them. He reveals our hearts to us. He said in one place, he said, I testify of the world that its works are evil. He said that. He testified. All right, back to the text. Joseph. So his name means something. He has a double name. Joseph, Zaphnath-paneah, and Christ His name is Jesus, and here's another name. Joseph was his name given by his earthly parents. Zephaniah came by divine inspiration. And Christ Jesus, he's the Son of Man, he's the Son of God. His name Jesus, his earthly name, and Christ the Son given. And just on and on you could go with that. But Joseph was a shepherd by occupation. That was Joseph's occupation. He was sent down to take care of the flock. Joseph was a shepherd. Christ is called the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. The Chief Shepherd. And like David, I believe Joseph was probably a good one. I'm sure he didn't lose a one. Certain of them. I know our Joseph never has. Fed the flock. All right, look at verse 2 in the text, Genesis 37. Joseph was opposed to evil, too. Joseph appeared to be, as I said before, he was a young man, of impeccable character. And that was a good type of Christ. Verse 2. Joseph, 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. The lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah and his father's wife. Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. He heard them talking and saw them, their evil actions, and he came and told the father their evil report. Now, Joseph was not a tale bearer, a tattler per se. Joseph was just so... his righteous soul was vexed with their conversation. And he was not a tale bearer, but a truth bearer. Like Christ. Christ is the great revealer. And they hated him for that. They hated him for revealing all about them. And Christ, I said this last week, Christ does not cover our sins first. When our Lord begins to deal with us, he does not first cover our sins. God doesn't come and say, God loves you. Or Christ, the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, doesn't say, God loves you and Christ died, your sins are covered. That's not the first thing he does. No, he exposes us. He reveals our wickedness, doesn't he? He reveals us to us. And if we're false brethren like these, they hated him for doing that. And so will the Pharisee and the Sadducee and the false brethren creeped in. The untrue, a Christian in name only, will hate this, all this talk of their sin, their evil and all. But the true child of God will say, true, Lord, true. And they'll be thankful that God revealed their state to themselves. So he's the truth bearer, not a tale bearer. All right, look at verse 3. Joseph was loved. Israel loved Joseph more than all his brethren. He was loved over and above all his brethren. The Lord says this, and he said it from heaven twice. This is my beloved son. Just like a father would the son that he's so proud of. That's my boy. But there's only one son, only one man truly worth saying that about. That's the Son of the Most High God. This is my beloved Son, the Holy Father said, in whom I am well pleased, and I love him above and beyond any other. He alone is worthy of the Father's love. Joseph was loved more than all his children. That's all right. Even this Joseph deserved it, didn't he? And certainly the altogether lovely one, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, deserves the Father's love. Not us. Not unto us. He was the son of his father's old age. Look at verse 3. It said Joseph was the son of his old age. That's a picture of Christ. Christ is the son of the eternal Father. Old age. God is from everlasting to everlasting, the eternal Father. And I remind you, Proverbs 8 says, I was with him from the beginning. I was set up with him from before the foundation of the earth. I was by him. I was daily his delight. He's the son of God's old age, if you will, the son of the eternal Father. And then Joseph, or Jacob, Israel, because of his special love for his son Joseph, son of his old age, his favorite son, he gave him a distinguishing gift, a coat, verse 3. He made him a coat of many colors, a coat of many colors. We saw how that represents Christ's character, or as one of the old writers writes in such a copious fashion, Christ, this is the coat which represents Christ's excellencies and glories and the infinite perfections of his marvelous character. I like that. The multifaceted character of Christ. Coat of many colors, or that glorious, righteous life that he lived on this earth and imparted to us, imputed and imparted to us. Verse 4. Because of his character, his brethren and his love, the love his father had. Verse 4, his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren. They hated him. They hated him. They hated him without a cause. Had Joseph done anything to deserve their hatred? No. You say, well, he told on it. Well, he just told the truth. And Stephen, he probably didn't tell it all. Did he? He told the truth. It was true what they said. What he said about him and more. But Joseph did nothing. There was nothing in him. They could find no sin in him, no fault in him. There was nothing worthy of their hatred in Joseph. They hated him without a cause. And so men hated our Lord Jesus Christ without a cause. Without a cause. They hated Joseph because of his character. And that's what our Lord said in places. He said, marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you, they hated me. Know that they hated me first. If you're anything like me, they'll hate you. And they'll say all manner of evil, falsely. Make up stories about him. He made stories up about Christ. Slander his character. All false. Christ said, though, blessed are you. Blessed are you. If they shall say all manner of evil falsely against you for my name's sake. That's what they did to the prophets, he said. All untrue. God knows. You're in good company, he said. They did it to me, Christ said. Me! They made up stories of me. They'll make them up about you. But, you know, some of them might be true about us. Or halfway. But not Christ. Not Christ. So don't let it bother you, he said. Fret not because of evildoers. They hated me, Christ said, without a cause, for his marvelous character. And they might call you a goody two-shoes, but that's all right. I want my two-shoes to walk well, don't you? I want my two-shoes to walk in paths of righteousness. Call me a goody two-shoes. I remember using that very statement myself years ago. Call me that. That's fine. That's fine. I hope I live a life in such a manner that somebody will hate me for righteousness' sake. They hated him because of the Father's special love for him. And all of God's people, they say, God loves the people, a certain particular people, and God chose the people. He has an elect of people, and God loves only those, and I'm one of them. They get mad at you for that, Terry? No, I ain't. God loves everybody. Yeah, he just loves you and doesn't love God. Well, that's right. He loves an elect people. Oh, they'll hate you for that, won't they? They'll hate you for that. And his dreams. They hated Joseph for his dreams. Joseph said, I've had some things revealed to me. Some truth revealed to me. And he told them. And they said, you haven't had things revealed to you. Well, whether we had things revealed to us, you're just a dreamer. You're just a dreamer. Verse 11 said, and he told those dreams to the brethren, and they didn't believe him. Much like the child of God, our Lord himself coming down and revealing the Father's will to men, and men didn't believe him, did they? They didn't believe him. They didn't believe what he said. In one place he said this. He said, "For which good work do you stone me?" They started stoning him one day. And they said, "Not for a good work, but what you said. We're not stoning you now for a good work. We don't like what you said. You're being a man, make yourself equal to God." And that's what they said about Joseph. "Shall we bow down to you?" Yes, they will. We'll see that over here in another chapter. They did. They came down and they bowed down to Joseph. And so did their father. And that's a picture of Christ. The scripture, and he told a dream in verse 9. Says the sun, the moon, and 11 stars made obeisance to me. That's what Philippians says, doesn't it? Everything shall, at the name of Christ, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess of things in earth and things under the earth, things in heaven, everything. And all things, he will have the preeminence. And everything. Sun, the moon, the stars, angels, devils, even God will say, "Thy throne, O God, is forever." Even God will acknowledge, "He's my equal." Think about that. Think about it. All right. Verse 11 says that he was envied by his brethren. His brethren envied him. But his father observed the same. Turn back to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. His brethren envied him. The word envy means they were jealous of him. They were jealous of him. Matthew 27, look at this. The very word is used here. Matthew 27, this is amazing. This is just amazing. The correlation. Matthew 27, verse 17. "Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" Well, he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Isn't that amazing? Envy. They envied him, or were jealous of him. The Pharisees, who claimed to worship God, were jealous of the Son of God. Claimed to be waiting on the Messiah, the Christ. It's no different today either in religion. All this talk about loving Jesus, they hate the sovereign Christ. They hate him. The ones who were waiting on the Messiah came, and they were jealous of him. Oh, my. All right, verse 13. Verse 13. Israel said unto Joseph. Now, this is where Israel sent Joseph down to his brethren. Verse 12, let's read that. His brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? And I will send thee, come, and I will send thee unto them." And Joseph, as the obedient son that he was, said, "Here I am. Here am I. I'll go." Didn't hesitate. He knew those evil sons. He knew their wickedness. They weren't worth checking on. Were they? They weren't worth caring for. Joseph could have said, "Leave those guys alone. Why should we have anything to do with them? I told you their evil report." You see the picture? But he was sent by the Father. You see, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Not ours only, but the sins of the whole world. Jew and Gentile. You know, there's no mention of these brethren having any communication or anything to do with Jacob. You don't find anything in this story through Genesis of these brethren being close to Jacob. When we get over to Jacob blessing his sons, we're going to see that. Rick, unlike most fathers, he doesn't pat them all on the back. He doesn't brag on them. He
tells them what they are. In blessing them, he tells them like it is. He says, like Reuben. He says, Reuben, he's unstable as water. And on down the line, he talks about those boys. Except one. You remember who it was? One boy. Judah. At any rate, that doesn't apply to this type, but that's another story altogether. But there's no mention of the father, Jacob, Israel, loving his other sons at all. There's no mention of them having any communion with Jacob. There's no mention of them ever inquiring about their father. They didn't ask. There's nothing in this story to say, to tell us that these sons asked the father to send the son down to help them. Huh? And isn't that us? That's a picture of mankind, isn't it? We didn't ask for the Son of God to come, and when he came, we slew him, just like this. We didn't ask the Father, but he willingly, here in his love, not that we love God. That's the reason I hate to hear people brag and boast and do all this talking about their love for God. I don't think a child of God ever does that. Like Peter, when the Lord asked him, Peter, do you love me? He'll say yes from the heart. He'll say yes. But he didn't go around bragging everybody, oh, how I love Jesus. Now, here in his love, not that we love God. Isn't that what the Scripture said? Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. Sent his Son. These boys didn't love their father, but he loved them and sent his Son. Isn't that glory? Sent by the Father. Well, Joseph seeks the welfare of his brethren. Verse 14. Israel said to Joseph, he said, you go, I pray thee. See whether it be well with thy brethren, well with the flocks. Bring me word again. And like I said, in spite of their evil, in spite of the evil report of their sin and their wickedness, he came. Anyway, Joseph, the obedient son, the loving younger brother, came to his own. Came down here. He could have said, no, I'm not going. I don't want to go. I don't want to have anything to do with those guys. They're evil. Daddy, they're evil. I don't want to go down there. Didn't have to. But as an obedient son over his own house, he came. I'll go. And he sought the welfare of his brethren. And that's what Christ said. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. Didn't have to come at all. I didn't come to condemn the world, he said. In spite of the evil report that was sent to him of mankind, God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand, if there were any that seek after God, and none righteous, no, not one, none good, no, not one. They all together become filthy. Christ said, I'll go. I'll go anyway. And he comes to seek the welfare of his brethren. He didn't do this for all. He came for his brethren. There are many, probably many men out there tending some flocks, and many men out in the land of Shechem. He came to his brethren. He came to his own. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Well, look at it, verse 14. So he sent him, Israel sent Joseph out of the vale of Hebron. And he came to Shechem. Every word is significant. Every jot and tittle. Do you know what Hebron means? It came out of the vale of Hebron. Why that language? I've never heard that before. Have you heard that used in Scripture before? The vale of Hebron. The vale is the inner courts or the a place that's separated from another, a veil of Hebron. Hebron means the seat of association.
Four, this company. The company. And that's a picture of Christ who left His Father's throne, left the seat where He was seated with the Father from the beginning, the seat of association. Left that seat, that place of love and peace of His Father's house, the company of the angels and the saints and the heavenly. He left them. Heavenly hosts, He left that company, that seat of association. He left Hebron. Came out of the veil of the Holy of Holies to come down to Shechem. Now, you know what Shechem means? Shechem means shoulder, as implying that it was a place where heavy burdens were to be borne. As a shoulder is a place where burdens are borne, so Christ came down here, the Scripture says, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Scripture says, God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all, on His broad shoulders. He came down here and shouldered the blame, didn't He? He came down here and shouldered the sheep. He came to Shechem. To Shechem. The place. And Shechem is also, Shechem is also, if you remember back in chapter 34, is placed as name for this fellow named Shechem who was. And all that, and it's slain, blood was shed, and evil and wickedness and malice, and just a place of sin, sorrow, evil, and bloodshed. That depicts this earth that Christ came to, doesn't it? It depicts it so well that Christ came to visit Shechem, a place of sin, sorrow, evil, and bloodshed. All right, verse 15. It says, a certain man found Joseph. Behold, he was wandering in a field. He was a wanderer. Joseph came down. He was a wanderer. He left his father's home, a place of peace and tranquility. He had a home, his father's house. He left it to came down here to be a stranger and a sojourner in this wilderness. Wander. Didn't he wander through this wilderness called earth? He said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Wandering about. Wandering about. What was he doing wandering about? Verse 17, he says, verse 16, he said, I seek my brethren. I'm seeking the sheep. I'm seeking my brethren. Verse 17, it says, the man said, they're departed hence. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren. And found them. He came seeking his brethren. And he went after them. He went after them. And he seeked them and he sought them until he found them. He was given a job by his father, he said. Father said, Go to my sons. Go to your brethren. See how they do. Bring me word again. Go. He said, I'll go. And he wasn't coming back, Joe, till he got the job done. And isn't that our Joseph, our Christ, who came? He wasn't going to quit till the work was finished. Such was this Joseph, and such is ours. Joseph went after his brethren, and says he found them. Where did he find them? Dothan. Where's that? You know what Dothan means? Get ready. Hang on your seats, as Pharaoh would say, we're going to jump a creek. Watch it now, he'd say. Watch it. Dothan means no. He found him under the law. Came to his brother in the fullness of time. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Isn't that beautiful? Christ came to Dothan to find his brethren who were in bondage to the law. Well, verse 15, he came to his own. They didn't receive him.
verse 18, I'm sorry. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And Christ, Scripture says, he was a man of sorrows from his youth up. You know the story of how Herod conspired against him when he was born. From cradle to grave, he was conspired against. And I'll not have you turn, but over in Matthew 12, it says that when Christ first came publicly, as a young man, 30 years old, began his public ministry, it says that as soon as he started preaching, it says the Pharisees took counsel how they might slay him. They didn't like him as soon as they saw him. Before he came near, they conspired against him to slay him. Now, verse 19, they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let's slay him and cast him into some pit." And then it talks about Reuben. Reuben hearing this, and Reuben seeking to deliver Christ out of their hands and trying to prevent them from slaying him. And what does Reuben, who does Reuben represent? I don't know. I don't have the faultiest. Who he represents? I don't know. So let's go on. I'm sorry, I don't know. Neither did, but I'm in good company. John Gill didn't know either. Matthew Henry didn't know either. Arthur Pink didn't say a word about it. So that's the secret things that belong to the Lord. Maybe it might mean the elder, the old man, will serve the younger. That could mean that. That sin shall not have dominion over you, that he's able to subdue all things unto himself, even the old man, to serve his purpose on that. I don't know. Or change us. Change that old Adam into a one who's not against God but for. All right. But they said he's nothing but a dreamer. Matthew in verse 19 and 20. He's a dreamer. Let's cast him into a pit. Now turn over to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. He's nothing but a dreamer. All that he said, he made it up. Silly notions in his head. Christ's brethren, do you remember when they came to Christ and he was preaching one time, his earthly brethren, as was supposed, the sons of Mary and Joseph, James and Joseph and some of them, they said, "He's beside himself." Well, he's beside himself. What's he done? All this talk about I came down from heaven. They heard him, Nancy, didn't they? They heard him. All this, what do you mean you're the son? Joseph's your daddy, Mary, our dad, mother, that's your mother. Why, he's beside a dreamer. Nothing but a dreamer. He was labeled a dreamer by everyone. Look at verse 39 and following. It says, when Christ hung on the cross, they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple," they're mocking him. "Or you who said you would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you be the Son of God. Come on down." Likewise also the chief priests mocked him, and the scribes and elders. "He saved others, himself he cannot save, if he be the King of Israel. As he said, let him now come down from the cross. We'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have it. He said, I'm the Son of God." Dreamer. Nothing but a dreamer. Look at verses 63 and 4. Verse 63 and 64. When they buried Christ, these Pharisees came to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that this deceiver, or this dreamer, said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command therefore that," and we know he's just dreaming, but just in case. "He's just a dreamer, and there's nothing to this, but set a watch over that door. Lest his disciple come by night and steal him away and say to his people, 'He's risen.' So the last errors will be worse than the first." He's just a dreamer. That's what they were saying. Let's see if his dreams will come true. Now back in the text.
Back to the text, Genesis 37. And you remember they cast him down into a pit. Verse 26. Joseph is sold. Verse 26. Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelite. You know what the name Judah is in the Greek? Judas. Isn't that amazing? The very Hebrew name Judah in the Greek in the New Testament is Judas. Judas said, let's make some money off of him. Let's sell him. It was Judas's idea. Judah's idea. Judah. Judas in the New Testament, who betrayed our Lord for 30 pieces of silver, and here it was 20 pieces. The significance of that, I do not know. Well, verse 23, it says that it came to pass when Joseph was come, they stripped Joseph out of his coat. They stripped him out of his coat. Look over at Matthew 27 again, in verses 27 and 8, quickly. Matthew 27, verse 27, 28, the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him. Put on him a scarlet robe. And over in verse 36, it says, sitting down, they watched him there. Back at the text, turn back to the text. It says that they cast him into a pit, verse 25, and they sat down to eat bread and lifted up their eyes and looked. Sitting down, they watched him there. It was said of our Lord. And so did these fellows. They sat down after they cast him into the pit. Joseph was humiliated, and so was our Lord, stripped naked. Cast into a pit. Joseph appears to be slain. Appears to be. Joseph appears to be slain. Look at verse 31. They took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats. Dipped the coat in the blood. They sent the coat of many colors and brought it to their father. And they said, this have we found. Is this your son's coat? Or not? He knew it and said, it's my son's coat. Would you like to carry on, some of you? This is good. This is good. Joseph appears to be slain, but he's not. But he needs to appear as a lamb that had been slain. Christ, our scapegoat, was slain. His blood, Joseph's blood, was presented to who? Who'd they take the blood to? The Father. The Father. To see if the Father would accept it as the Son's blood. And it says the Father knew it. Said, yep, that's my Son's blood. And we are accepted in the Beloved. Huh? We have this coat wrapped on us like a Esau had those hairy garments on him. We have this bloody robe wrapped about us, and we come to the Father, and the Spirit and the law and everything says to the Father, is that your son's blood covering that old sinner? And he says, yep, that's his blood. And he knows us. He knows us. He accepts us in the blood. He acknowledges the sacrifice, the blood. He accepts it as so. And though the son's not dead, he's not dead. Well, Joseph was cast into a pit. It said that in verse 24 and 25. They cast him into a pit wherein there was no water. He had nothing to drink. Joseph got thirsty down there. He may have asked for water. Doesn't say he did, but he may have. Brethren, just a drink. I thirst. No water in it.
no water. Isn't that marvelous? Well, he was cast into a pit, and I believe this is typical of Christ being buried. Christ said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, in the pit of the earth, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Verse 28. They passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit. Joseph's not dead. He's alive. And he came out of that pit. They cast him into the pit. But Joseph's not dead. He's alive, and he came out of that pit. And Joseph's going to Egypt. That's where Joseph's going. He's going to Egypt. And that's where he's going to live. That's where he's going to live for a while. What's he going to do there? Well, eventually he's going to make intercession for his brethren. He's got to live. Why? That they might live also. And he got to live that they might live also. He's going to Egypt, where he's going to live. He's going to make intercession for his brethren, the Pharaoh, the ruler. And later on, he's going to reveal himself to those brethren as the king that they had slain, as it had been slain. And that's what the angel said to, Reuben. The story goes that Reuben came back and fell on him and said, well, he's not here. He's not here. Well, that's what the angel said. Why do you seek the dead among the living? He's not here. He's not here. He's risen. As he said, he's no dreamer. He said he would. That temple he was talking about destroying, he's destroyed this temple, he said. I'll raise it again in 3 days. What temple is that? His body. So you kill this body. After that, there's no more you can do. But I can. I'll raise it again. And you won't touch it again, this body. Why seek ye the dead among the living? He's not here. He's risen, as he said. He's on the throne, as he said. Every knee shall bow, as he says. Because he lives, ye shall live, as he says. He will receive his brethren. He went to prepare a place for them, that where he is, they might be also. And he'll come again to receive them unto himself. As he said. And it could have been said to those brethren, last time you saw him, he was meek and lowly and in a pit. Next time you see him, he'll be seated on a throne, reigning and ruling over all. And he revealed himself to you. I'm Joseph. I can't wait to get to that. I can't wait. We got time? We will. All right. Stand with me and I'll dismiss it. Our Lord God, how we thank you for this glorious book. The Word of the Living God. There's no doubt in our minds. Right now, there's no doubt. We thank you for it, Lord. We glory in it. We marvel in it. We admire and stand in amazement and wonder at your marvelous hand in all of this, the life of Joseph. Portraying he who portrayed our Lord Jesus Christ, our Joseph, who's gone into Egypt, gone into heaven itself, there to appear before the Father on high for us, he who's in charge of the storehouses, to whom we shall go someday, and he'll open those storehouses to us. And Lord, we thank you for the sacks of food you've given us now. You've given us sacks, you've filled our sacks with food, and more than that, you've loaded our wagons. And we want to come back again, 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 to feast at your granary, at your word, on this Joseph, this type of the Son of God who ever lives for us. Thank you, Lord, for revealing it to us. We are a blessed people indeed. We are and elect people indeed. You reveal these truths unto us and unto our children. How we thank you, Lord. You hid them from the wise and prudent, revealing them unto us. Let us never take them for granted, but never let us lose our amazement of them. Until we meet again, the Lord's day, go with us. Bless us with your favor and your presence. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.